All right, it's good to be here. 1 Samuel chapter number 3. Let's start there tonight. 1 Samuel chapter number 3. I'm excited about this week. Are you excited?
Yes.
All right, six of you. That's awesome. All right, that is fantastic. Been praying for this week, praying for the Lord to do something great in my life and your life. And just really been seeking the Lord, the messages and what He would have. And I know this is what He wants us to look at tonight in 1 Samuel chapter number 3. Pray for me. This weekend found out one of our members in our church, been a member over 30 years in our church, elderly gentleman, and he is going to have a pretty serious heart surgery in the morning. So after chapel tonight, I'm going to drive back down to Cincinnati, then get up at 4 in the morning, go to the hospital, then drive back up here tomorrow. So I will be so excited tomorrow night. It's going to be awesome, all right? But seriously, pray. Just pray for safety and pray for him. His name is Rich. I'd appreciate your prayers for him as well. So 1 Samuel chapter number 3, and let's read just first few verses here. It says, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. Samuel, we know a lot about Samuel. God had an unbelievable plan for Samuel's life. I would assume you're pretty familiar with his life. His mom, Hannah, prayed specifically. God had not given her a child. So she earnestly prayed, and God blessed, and she promised God, whatever child you would give me, I will give him to you, and he'll serve you all of his life. And she kept his word, and he grew up there at the temple, and he served, and he served God, and did his ministered to the Lord, the Bible says. And he would go on, of course, to become a judge in Israel. He would anoint King David. He would be he would anoint King Saul. He would be a counselor to King Saul. Oh, that he would have listened. And then David also. He did a lot of unbelievable things, and perhaps maybe even came back from the dead. But that's a whole different story. But in any case, all right, Samuel was a great man of God. And did some great and wonderful things. God had a plan for his life. And this is him when he's a child. The theme this year is, again, the sweetest place that you can possibly be is in the center of God's will. And by that, I hope you understand this tonight, that by God's will, I'm not talking about, all right, what are you going to be 30 years from now? That's not what we're talking about. Because the fact is this, I don't know where I'll be 30 years from now. I have no idea. I would love to be alive. I would love to be still at my church that I'm serving at, Cazadale Baptist Temple. I would love to still be preaching and doing the will of God. But God may have me in the middle of Africa somewhere. God, I don't know. Say, well, how do you know God's will? God's will is a present reality in your life every day. All you've got to do to be in the sweetest place on earth is be where you need to be and where God wants you to be today. Because if you're doing right today, you're in the will of God. And the steps of a good man are what? If you'll be in the will of God today, then God, he'll point you in the right direction tomorrow. And you know what happened tomorrow? You be in the will of God, he'll point you in the right direction the next day. And let me tell you something. It's awesome being in the will of God.
True.
I love serving God.
Amen.
It drives me crazy when Christians are always bummed out. If you're a grouch, stay away from me. Because I will sarcastically give you a hard time, right? Because Christians should be the happiest people on the face of the earth. Because if you're saved and in the will of God, you ought to have the joy and the peace of God in your life. I mean, some people you walk up to and be like, how you doing? Well, you might as well sit down. 30 minutes and you're going to be sad and crying by the time you're done, right? It's like, come on, right? If you're saved, you ought to look like you've not been sucking on a lemon for the last 10 minutes, right? You ought to smile. You ought to rejoice because God wants you. Listen, I'm not saying there's not sad times. There are. I'm not saying there's not difficult times. I've been through them. But I'm telling you this, that when you walk with the Lord, He'll lead you, He'll guide you. He'll give you the strength to get through whatever it is you're going to walk through. Because our God is a great God. And He gives us joy, and He gives us peace, and He gives us that contentment. And then, because He's a great Father, He just likes to bless your life. I mean, I try my best as a father. I can't compare myself to our Father that's in heaven, but I love to see my children happy. I love to do things for them. I love, when they're hurting, I want to help and get it right. How much more will our Heavenly Father? I always say this to our teens, that when, you know, I'll preach at them at chapel or service or whatever, and it's not prideful, I promise you this, God knows my heart and what I'm about to say. But I always look at them, and I always say, what is it about my life that you would not want? Now, that sounds really prideful, but it's not. Because let me explain it. I go home, and I have a wife that adores me. Why did that make you laugh? She adores me. And you know what? I love her. She's awesome. I've got a 15-year-old daughter. Her name is Hope. She's awesome. She's just starting to learn how to drive. Pray for me, right? But she loves the Lord. We just got back from a trip to Florida, and we just love. We were walking. She's almost 16 years old. We're walking down through the middle of Tampa, Florida, and she reaches over and holds my hand. And we walk through the street. You say, that's weird. Nope. I love her. She never goes to bed any night, but probably tonight, that she doesn't come and kiss me right there on the head. Says, I love you, Dad. Good night. I thank the Lord for a close family. You know, I've never once in my life doubted my wife's love for me since we've been married. I have never once wondered, is she coming home? That may sound weird to you. You don't understand how many families can't say the same thing. She never wonders what I'm up to. Say, how do you know? Because she's allowed to look at whatever I've got. And she, one time when Hope, when she was little, she's like, Dad, Mom was looking at your phone. I was like, good. Said, she's allowed to look at whatever she wants to. And we have a relationship that we love each other. We're close to each other. I've got a house. It's 980 square feet. You say, that's not big. I know, it's perfect for us. It's awesome. Love it. Got a little fence around the backyard. I got a shed. I have a riding John Deere mower. It's awesome. Zero turn. Oh, it's so cool. I know. It's calm down, right? It's awesome. I got a church to go to. People love. I love them. In the last three years, I've been to England and Scotland three times, Italy, Rome. I've been able to go to Mexico. I've been able to go to Colorado, Florida. And you know what? Here's the greatest part. Ready? I didn't have to pay for any of it. They asked me for some reason to come and speak at these places, right? And it's so cool. Just serving God. I wouldn't change anything. I'm just thankful for what God is doing. It's the greatest thing to know that you're walking in the will of God. Samuel was a young man, he just getting started. And I want you to see a couple things about this guy Samuel. Go back to chapter number 1. We'll stay right there in 1 Samuel. Chapter number 1, look at verse number 1 with me in 1 Samuel 1:1. It says, "Now there was a certain man of Ramathath-Mizophim." I practiced 2 hours saying it. "Of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephrathite." First of all, how can you not be awesome when your dad, man, Jehoram, Elihu, Tohu, and Zuph. That's just awesome, right? My dad's name was Wayne. And his dad's name was John. And then my great-grandpa's name was Grover. Isn't that awesome?
He was great.
All right, so anyways, all right? Some of you get that. All right, anyways, all right? But here he is, all right? Samuel, his father there, Elkanah. What do we know about Elkanah? Well, I'll tell you this. He was a good man. In chapter 1 and verse number 3, we see this about him. "And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts." He went up and he worshiped God. You know who went with him? His wife went with him. Hannah would go to worship God. But they worshiped the Lord. Samuel, we're going to look at Samuel here real quick this evening. But number one, I want you to note this. He had great parents. He had great parents. They went to worship the Lord. Now, I don't know hardly anyone's background in this room. I really don't know that I could tell you anything about any of your parents just looking at you. But I can tell you this. That if you've got a dad, and you've got a mom, dad or mom, or whatever the case is, that loves the Lord and worships the Lord, you are very blessed tonight.
Amen.
If you've got a dad who will pray with you, you are blessed. If you've got a mom, a dad, and maybe one is not saved, or maybe just a lot of different scenarios we can come from, but you got a dad or mom that sit with you or both in church week after week after week, don't take that for granted. You ought to thank God for that every day. Amen. And I'm looking at a lot of young people in this place tonight that you have some good parents. Thank the Lord for that. Maybe some grandparents. But people that love you, that are making sure. And maybe some, and I'm not taking away, say, "Well, neither one of my parents are saved." Well, you're here, and you can start a family legacy in the days ahead where your children will rise up and call you blessed too. But the fact is this, if Samuel had parents, they were great parents. They worshiped the Lord. They loved the Lord. They were consistent in these things. They went year after year. They showed that they worshiped the Lord and they loved the Lord. And if you are privileged to have that tonight, you ought to thank God and quit complaining about it.
Amen.
Because there are some teenagers who they get frustrated because their parents won't let them do anything. My parents won't let me listen. I see all these other teenagers, I got these things in their ear and they're listening to whatever they want to listen to. My parents won't let me. Thank God for that. You're looking at someone who was raised, you say, I am just sheltered. You have no idea what sheltered was. I was raised that way. And I get it. You know, I never listened to anything that my parents didn't know what I was listening to. There were places I wasn't allowed to go. There are people I wasn't allowed to be around. And I thank God I'm looking at you tonight, only praise to the Lord. I'm thankful for my parents. I have no idea what drugs even look like. I'm glad I have no idea what alcohol tastes like. I have no clue. I've never been in a movie theater in my life. You say, "You are really sheltered." I'm very thankful.
Amen.
That God gave me parents who said, "We want God's will for your life, and we're going to do whatever we can to protect that." Now, they were not overbearing, but they made sure that I was protected, that I was sheltered. And you know what we did at home at night? We stopped and we had prayer together. My dad would read the Bible to us. My mom, in the middle of the day, she'd say, "Travis, Crystal, come over here. Let's sing." And that was just a normal thing in our lives. My dad made sure I read the Bible and had a walk with God. You know, the TV wasn't on tons, and when it was very, very protected. We watched the Boston Celtics, which, woo-hoo, this year. We didn't watch that. And we, whoa, about to give an invitation, right? All right. No, wait. They were careful. If you've got parents that are careful and watching over you and they're trying to honor the Lord and keep you from all the vices that are out there, quit complaining about it and thank God for that tonight. And one of the best things some of you could do is go home from this week and hug your father or hug your mother, hug them both and say, I'm sorry for my spirit. I'm sorry for my rebellion. I'm sorry for pushing back on some things. Thank you for wanting to honor God. They worshiped the Lord. They sacrificed to the Lord. It says in verse number 3 again, it says they went yearly to worship and to sacrifice. I'm glad I watched my parents. They sacrificed. It was never in doubt. I'm thankful for this. It's foreign to me. Sometimes I struggle getting up and having to teach tithing and preach it because it was just such a normal part of my life. I mean, I was like 3. I remember I was 3 years old. I know it's hard to believe. I was a late 3, but late 3. And this guy in our church, his name was Wade Chastain. Wade Chastain. I remember his name. But, you know, and here's the reason I remember this guy. Because every time I went to church, if I went and saw Wade Chastain, he gave me $1. We're talking 1979, right? And so I would go and get my $1. And I'd take that $1 home. I was rich. Man, you're 4 or 5 years old and you got $1. Woo! Yeah! And I had this $1. And my parents, as a little child, they'd say, all right, here you go. And they'd give me some quarters and dimes and nickels and say, this is God's. They taught me to tithe. Some of you are just like, what? They taught me to tithe, right? Amen. And I watched them. They had no problem. They sacrificed. They would give. They gave everything they could to the Lord, and they had no regrets. My dad passed away a couple years ago, having preached the Word of God for over 50 years. I wish he could have been here tonight and preached for you, because you would like him a whole lot more than me. He's just awesome. And my dad, he worked with teenagers for years. He loved the Lord. He literally, I watched him in my lifetime, I watched him give 7 cars to people. He knew they needed it. Here you go. I watched him just give whatever he needed to. When he passed away, I became the manager of his estate. And he didn't have any debt, but he did owe. He liked ordering things off the magazine, like Finger Hut. Some of you have no idea. So my dad had bought something. He owed $48 when he died. And Finger Hut called me. They said, are you handling the estate of Wayne Burke? I was like, yes, I am. They said, well, he owes $48 and something nonsense. I was like, well, I said, he has $8.98 in the bank. He was like, that's all he has. I was like, yeah. He's like, what? And they said, well, how about his house? I was like, he doesn't own a house. Actually, I own his house. And they said, well, how about a car? I said, he didn't own a car. They said, well, does he have any, you know, whatever, list all these things? Nope. They said, you're telling me your father had $8.98 in the bank, and that's all he had? I was like, yes. He said, well, they were just like, whoa. They said, well, we're not going to have you send anything. We said, we feel sorry for that. And I was like, oh, my dad has so much now. Yeah. I was like, he is just. And by the way, you say, well, poor guy on earth. If you ever met my dad, you would have just, he was content. And he wasn't living. You say, well, he said he didn't know anything. My grandparents had bought a car for my mom. And so they had a nice car, but it was my mom's, in my mom's name. They bought my dad a house. But they put it in my name, in my sister's name. But he had everything. Everything taken care of. He had served 4 years in the Navy during Vietnam, and all of his medical things were taken care of. He had it. He was so content. God never let him down. He never went without. He was a blessed man. And I can't wait to see him again, because right now he's enjoying far greater things than we can even imagine. But I watched a man who just gave. He gave in his life. He sacrificed. These Hannah and Elkanah, they sacrificed, they gave, they worshiped the Lord. This man loved his wife, there's no doubt about it. It says in chapter 1, verse 5, but unto Hannah he gave a more worthy person, for he loved Hannah. He loved his wife. Again, if you've got parents that they love each other, you're blessed. Thank God for that. She was a great mom. She had no children at that time, but she went and she knew how to pray. She talked to the Lord. One of my favorite parts in this whole is in chapter 1, verse 8. It says, then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? Now, you know why she was crying, right? She wanted a child. It says, and why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? Is that not one of the greatest verses right there, right? Hey, woman, you got me. Right? I mean, that's what it says, right? Yeah, right? I'm better than 10 sons, right? But he loved her, and he gave her a double portion. She loved him. They prayed. They sought the Lord in chapter 1, verse number 10, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord. She knew what it was to pray. I never, growing up, I hardly ever woke up that I did not walk past the living room, and my mom was sitting in her rocking chair, facing outside, reading her Bible and praying for me and my sisters. If you've got parents like this, you ought to thank God for that tonight. Amen. He had great parents. They worshiped the Lord. They sacrificed to the Lord. They loved each other. They loved the Lord. They prayed. And by the way, they kept their word to the Lord. It may not sound like nothing big, but in chapter 1, verse number 11, she vowed a vow unto the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all of his days. And then you see there in chapter 1 and verse number 24, it says, and when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with 3 bullocks and 1 ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him into the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. Down in verse number 28, therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. She said she would give him to the Lord, and she did it. See, what's the point in that? He had parents who didn't just talk it, they lived it. Amen. And again, if you've got parents like that, thank God for them. I've watched way too many teenagers live in homes like this, and they take their parents for granted. They start pushing back on things because they want to do all these different things, and their rebellious heart starts to flare up, and they only look back later in their life with regret. Be thankful for those parents. But Samuel had great parents. Samuel was in a great place. Here in chapter number 2, we see some things about him. Of course, there in chapter number 1, she leaves him there at the tabernacle, and he's going to worship and serve the Lord and minister to the Lord there. In chapter 2 and in verse number 11, it says, and Elkanah went to Ramah into his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. He starts ministering to the Lord. In chapter 2, verse number 18, it says, but Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Year after year after year, he was there in the house of God ministering to the Lord. He was in a great place. I love the fact that his mommy made him a little coat every year. Isn't that nice? Every year she brought a little coat. I just love reading that. She brought a little coat. Never mind. But he was in a great place. He was there. Imagine where he was. He was in the place where the ark was. He was in a place where the lamp of God was. He was in a place where the glory of God would fill that place. He was there to hear the singers. He was there to hear the worship, to see the sacrifices. He was being raised in a great place with great parents in a great place. If you've got a church that the Lord has placed you in, you ought to thank God for that church. You ought to thank God for the place he has placed you at. You ought to thank God for the pastor he has given to you. You ought to thank God for the authority and the spiritual leaders that he's put into your life. You have been placed in a great place. Quit taking it for granted. Amen. By the way, your whole life, all of your life, should be centered around the Lord Jesus Christ and the local church. Mm-hmm. I'll not back down from that statement. Amen on that, right? Your life ought to be centered around the Lord Jesus Christ and your local church. Serve him in your church. Find a place to serve him. He was there and he was ministering to the Lord. Be thankful for that great place that God's giving you to minister to the Lord. Be thankful for your great parents. I in chapter number 3, in verse number 1, he had great practices. It says, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. He ministered. We already read in chapter 2 in a couple of verses, he ministered unto the Lord. He ministered unto the Lord. He was serving God. You say, what all did he do? I don't know what all he did as a young man. I mean, the Bible doesn't say what all he did. But I'll just give you my testimony as I was raised in church. Some of you can understand this. How many of you tonight, you're either a missionary's child or a pastor's child? Raise your hand, amen? All right, you're gonna understand this, all right? All right? All right, put your hands down, ready? We set up a lot of chairs. Amen?
Amen.
We tear down a lot of chairs. Set up a lot of tables. We were at a place over in Colorado, and I was doing a wedding ceremony, and we were setting up tables, they were using a facility, and this person came out and said, whoa, be careful with those tables. You have to know how to pick up those tables. And I looked at them and said, yes, sir. But in my heart, I said, do you know how many tables I picked up in my life, right? They were like, you have to use two people and a third person to stack them. I was just like, bang, bang, whoop, whoop, bang, right? You get me, right? We've set up a few tables in our life, all right? And, you know, I don't know what all he did. He probably helped clean up or set up. Maybe he helped gather whatever it was that was needing to be done or collect up the things that were left behind. I don't know what he did, but he was just there to serve the Lord. Find a place of service right now in your church. Quit sitting around doing nothing. You say, well, I'm just a teenager. Serve the Lord. You say, I can't go in and preach. Clean the toilet. I'm serious. Volunteer. I promise if you go to your pastor and say, is there anything I can help clean up? He'll tell you something, right? Go out knocking on doors. Go pass out flyers. Just find a place of service and be serving the Lord. I don't know what all he did, but Samuel was ministering to the Lord. He had great parents. He was in a great place, and he had great practices. Number 4, he had a great prospect. In chapter 3 and in verse number 4, it says this. It says that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. I hope every one of you young people, by the end of this week, you will say, Lord, here am I. You speak, and I'll follow you, Lord. And God's will and God's plan for your life, I promise you. You know what? I surrendered to preach when I was 16 years old. My grandpa was my pastor, and I surrendered to preach. He prayed with me. He presented it to the church, told everybody I was surrendering to preach. And then after the service, he walked down to me and said, Tuesday night, the Miamisburg nursing home. I was like, what? He goes, the Lord call you to preach? I said, yes, sir. He goes, well, I'm preaching Tuesday night. I was like, what? I was scared to death. I went and preached. It was 3 minutes long. And that's after 2 prayers. You know, I was like, but Grandpa said, all right, we got to start. Lord called you. Let's do it. And you know, another guy, I've surrendered to preach, and I have preached in nursing home services. Currently, I'm not this week, but currently, I do 6 nursing home services a week. Me. Because I love them. And I love ministering in those and trying to just have an opportunity. I always think of Jude there just snatching brands out of the fire. When you see someone get saved at the very end of their life and thank God his mercy was there. But I've preached and I've been around a lot. I always say all that to say this. I've been around a lot of people, elderly years. In those nursing homes, I can't even tell you how many people I've talked to. And there's two types of people. There's one who haven't lived for God and they're miserable. Or there's those who've lived for the Lord and they're at peace and happy. I've never met in my life someone who has saved and served the Lord who is sitting in some nursing home or at the end of their life said, I wish I wouldn't have served God. I've never met it in my life. I've never had anyone say, I wish I wouldn't have got saved. I've never had anyone say, boy, I wish I wouldn't have served God all these years in my church. I'm telling you, a whole lot of people I've seen in my life because it's worth it to serve the Lord. Find a place of service and begin serving. And when he surrendered and said, Lord, here am I, God was going to use Samuel. God was going to bless him with a plan for his life, with the power to do it. He had a purpose in his life. He had people to minister to. When you're in the will of God, you'll have a purpose. So Samuel had, let's review, number one, he had great what? Parents. I love when there's reaction in church because everyone brings out their deepest manly voice. It's like, number one, he had what? Great
parents.
Right? You can talk normal when you talk, right? He had great what?
Parents.
Number two, he's in a great
place.
Number three, his life was about a great
practices.
Number four, he had a great because the Lord was calling him. But number five, and I'm done, he had a great problem. He had a big time problem. So what was his problem? Let's look at our Bibles here, right? Look over in chapter number 1 and in verse number 3. Chapter 1 and verse number 3, it says, and this man went up out of the city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there. Eli had his own two boys, Hophni and Phinehas. They were there at Shiloh. They were called priests. It says in chapter 1 of verse number 3, those were his boys. Look over in chapter number 2. Look in chapter 2 and in verse number 12. It says, now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. You say, what is that? They were really bad. They were acting like the devil. They were being wicked. It says, and the sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were sons of Belial. Read that last part of the verse with me. It says what? They what?
Knew not the Lord.
Say it again.
Knew not the Lord.
They weren't saved. They didn't know the Lord. They were wicked. It goes on to talk about some of the things they did. They would steal from as people were giving their sacrifices. They would steal some of these things. They would take some of these things. They were robbing God. They were robbing people. In chapter number 2, verse number 17, it says, wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. They were stealing, they were treating God's things that were sacred and taking from it and abusing these things. In chapter 2 and in verse number 22, it says, now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel and how they lay with the woman that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. They were perverts. They were involved in fornication. They were wicked. But they knew not the Lord. Anybody with me?
Sir.
You say, yeah, poor Samuel, he's being around these guys. It's not my point. Chapter number 3, let's go back to it. The Lord's calling Samuel. He speaks to Samuel. And we'll pick up in verse number 4. The Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son. Lie down again." Now verse number 7. Now Samuel what? Neither was his word, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. Samuel had great parents. Samuel was in a great place. Samuel had great practices. And the future was awesome. But he had a problem. Now, if you look at me, he was just as lost as those two other boys. Right? He knew not the Lord, which is exactly how Hophni and Phinehas are described. He didn't know the Lord. Now he would. Matter of fact, I think this is what this chapter is about. But he didn't know the Lord. I'm looking at a group. I hope everybody's saved. But I've been doing this long enough now to know that you can be sitting in a great place with great parents, with a great possibility. The potential in this room could change the world for Christ. You can be involved in your church and be doing some good things, and everybody in this room ministering in whatever ministries you want to talk about, you're ministering in. But do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Because you can have great parents and all these things going for you and not yet know the Lord. And now you're going to hear all kinds of talk and preaching and lessons and Bible studies and sermons on the will of God and enjoying the will of God. And you can sit in places like this and get involved in your church and be absolutely miserable if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And so I'm looking at some good kids. There ain't no doubt in my mind. I watch as you sing. My dad was a youth pastor for 12 years. I learned a lot under him. I was a youth pastor for 9 years. I studied teens. I watched teens. I still work with teens every day of my life because we have a school. You all get on my nerves, right? I'm just kidding, right? No, I do it because I love it, and I love young people. I truly do. And I can tell you this, and God knows my heart. I don't know you yet, but I do love you. And it's my prayer that everyone in this room knows the Lord Jesus Christ. Because this Samuel, with great parents and a great place, with all these great things going for him, he was just as lost as his other two boys. And I'm probably not telling you anything new. But I am going to challenge you. You see, I sat in camps just like this too, and I had great parents. I've already told you about them. I had great parents. I was in a great place. My grandpa was a pastor. My uncle was my pastor. My dad was a pastor. I grew up in church. I went to church the first time in my life when I was 5 days old. 5 days old. The first words anyone ever said to me was, "My mother held me." I don't remember. She told me this. All right, but she held me in the hospital and said, "Travis, Jesus loves you." But at 13 years old, I said at camp lost. At 13 years old, if I would have died with great parents in a great place, serving in a church, I would have died and went to hell. And I'm not asking you today whether you're in a good place. I know you are. I'm not asking you today whether you got good parents. Praise the Lord if you do. I'm not asking you all these things. Maybe just check. But only you and God know this answer. Do you know the Lord as Savior? I was 14 years old. My dad was preaching a revival service on a Monday night in Trotwood, Ohio, which is about 2 hours and 40 minutes from where we're standing. He was preaching a revival service, and he preached on the rapture. He preached on the return of Christ. The invitation was given, and I stood there in that pew, and I looked at him, and I looked down. God said, "You're lost. You need to get saved." You need to prepare, and you know you're lost. And I sit there, and I kept saying, but what will people think? People will say this or that. And I had every excuse in the world. My grandpa's the pastor. My dad's a preacher. My uncle's a preacher. Everyone thinks I'm saved. And I went over all these excuses, and I stood there. And finally, they said, let's close in prayer. And I thought, phew. I went home that night. I tried to go to bed. I couldn't. Conviction was all over me. I knew I was lost. I knew what my sin demanded. I knew I was going to hell. And I'm not bragging. I'm allowed to say, this is stupid, right? Yeah. Sometimes I deal with kids and I say, but you're teenagers. It was stupid what I did, right? This is dumb. But to ease my own conscience, I said this, God, I'm going to get saved in the morning. I promise I will. And if I don't, just kill me. That was dumb. But it eased my conscience enough to go to sleep. So why didn't you go get saved? I don't know. The Tuesday morning, the phone rang at 5 a.m. It's in the summer. 5 a.m. My door opens. My mom says, your grandpa's on the phone. He wants to know if you want to go fishing. I was like, yeah, sure. I was 14. You don't wake up till like 10. You know, and I was just like, yeah, sure. And I get out, I go grab my stuff. He pulls up in his little red truck. I get in his truck. We drive down there about 45 minutes away to Franklin, Ohio. We get out. We walk over to the dock, and he starts the boat motor, and he gets in. And I put one leg in the boat and one leg on the dock, and I said, oh, no. I remember what I told God. I just knew I was going to drown that day. You see, you can laugh, because now I look back thinking, because I was dumb. I tried to fish. I didn't catch anything. Scared to death. I held on to the side of that boat. Say, what was going on? I knew I was lost, but I kept making all these excuses. I went home that night. I washed my hands. I went in my bedroom, and I just sat there, and I started crying. I knew I was lost, and God said, you need to be saved. And I started running through all my excuses again. And then all of a sudden I thought, why in the world would I say no to this God? Amen. After all he's done for me, why would I take a chance on going to hell? Amen. And I got up and I walked right back, and I just didn't even knock, which is a big no-no, but I just walked in my dad's bedroom. He was sitting at the edge of his bed. He looked at me. He said, what's wrong? I said, Dad, I need to get saved. I can't remember everything he told me, but I know we sat there at 644 Maple Hill Drive, West Carrollton, Ohio, in the back bedroom. I can take you to the house. I like driving by every once in a while when I'm in Dayton, and I look at the house because I know in that behind that window, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I sat through a lot of camps when the invitations would start, and I tried to ease my conscience, and some of you, I guarantee, have done this. If anyone's here tonight, you don't know you're saved. Slip your hand up. Let me pray for you. I didn't want to raise my hand but I knew God was there. So I do sometimes this. Sometimes I kind of lift my hand, or I just kind of lift my fingers, hoping that no one ever saw it, but I just did it. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. And I'm just telling you this. All my little fears and excuses I had, they were all completely invalid. Did you know everyone rejoiced that Travis Burke got saved? There were so many people who came and said, I have been praying for you. I'm thankful that God saved my soul that night. I had great parents in a great place, doing some great things. But I had a great problem. I was lost. I don't care who you are tonight, and I don't care what your background is. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? There's nothing worth going to hell over, my friend. Amen. And I love you enough to tell you, get saved tonight. Amen. And a lot of times I've been around camp, people hold out and hold out and hold out. And then someone gets saved. And then all of a sudden another gets saved. You know what? I'd rather not wait till Wednesday, Thursday to see young people start getting right with God. Amen. Let's start Monday night. Let's have the greatest week you've ever had by people that are lost getting saved. You say, well, I am saved. Well, praise the Lord for that. And I know you know the Lord as Savior, but let me ask you a question here. Do you know the Lord in your personal walk now? Do you talk to Him? Do you listen to Him? Do you pray to him? Because if you don't know him in that way, Christian life's a struggle. Quite miserable. Let's get right with God tonight. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes, please.